Looking for some new art inspired by the national parks? Then be sure to check out our online store, The Gaze Shop.
This season, as we explore the landscapes of Olympic National Park, Mount Rainier National Park, Carlsbad Cavern National Park, and Guadalupe Mountains National Park, we've got some new items and designs coming your way.
Introducing our Olympic National Park and Mount Rainier National Park posters. These 12 by 18 posters make a great addition to any home or office, or a great gift for any lover of the national parks, even if that national parks lover is you.
Whether it's art for your wall or a sticker for your water bottle, you're sure to find something that sparks your love of the outdoors. Visit shop.gazeatthenationalparks.com to bring some of the national parks home with you.
All right. You're a fan of the fantasy novel.
I am. It's my bread and butter.
Yes, it is.
And my meat and potatoes.
I mean, you fly through fantasy novel books. Mm-hmm. What is a fantasy place? Land in a fantasy world that you would like to hike or that you'd be curious about hiking?
Oh. That's a good question. I'm trying to think of, like, if we think landscape.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I feel like the Lord of the Rings, because there's so much talk of the journey there, you get a lot of sense for it. And I think because it came to the screen, and New Zealand was the backdrop for it, it kind of made it very visually appealing as a space. Yeah, I think that would probably be it. I'm trying to think of anything else that's, like, coming to mind off the top of my head right now. That would be, like, I never read the Game of Thrones books, but that is also a very expansive landscape.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
With some interesting things happening there. I'm trying to think. I mean, we've already hiked where Bella and Edward and Jacob.
That is true. That is true. We have, which is not a fantasy. No. It exists.
Mm-hmm. It's a sweet, sweet fantasy for those of the Twilight series who we came real hard for last episode.
I do feel like probably just because it's, like, in culture right now, but there are definitely parts of Oz I think I would definitely want to hike for sure.
Yeah.
Anything around, like, the Wicked Witch's castle or forest,
in Winky country,
or Fiero's castle or forest, anything in Winky country would be really fun.
There's a lot of things you'd like to do in Fiero's forest.
I'm sure. And then
I meant to cackle more like a witch there.
There you go. But you forgot the iconic line.
I'll get you, my pretties.
And your little dog, too. Oh,
yeah, that.
You got to say it first and then do the cackle.
You want me to do it again?
I do.
I'll get you, my pretties, and your little dog, too.
Well, Mike just auditioned for the reboot, which is inevitable to happen after it's back in the culture and the zeitgeist.
Yeah.
Well done. That was a great cackle.
Mm-hmm. Girl, yeah. I teach.
Looking for adventure, I want to follow on the trail, or get a little lost and let the wind fill my sails. Get up when the stars still fill the sky, don't wake the sun. There's so much to be done, and the day has just begun. Go where the postcards are real, you can feel, you can open your eyes and open your heart when you gaze at the national parks.
Father, you will follow you there.
At the national parks.
Father, you will follow you there.
At the national parks.
Follow you, I'll follow you there.
We would like to acknowledge that while hiking in the area, also known as Olympic National Park, that we were on the traditional and stolen land of the Lower Elwha Klallam, Jamestown Skollam, Port Gamble Skollam, Skokomish, Quinault, Ho, Quailute, and Maka people.
All right, well, strap in, because There was a lot of driving this day. When we last left off, our last episode took us to Rialto Beach. And on that very same day, in a previous episode, we also hiked in Ho Rainforest. So we had a very, very long day four in Olympic National Park. Day three.
So the first day we did all the stuff on that one side.
Yeah, Mount Eleanor.
Shady Lane. The second day we did all of the Klahani Ridge. And then
this is day three.
This is day three.
No.
Because
we did Cape Flattery and Shy was day three. This is day four.
Yeah. That's right.
We packed it in Olympic National Park.
We did.
We got to see a lot. But Olympic is a park where you cannot really escape the driving, especially if you're trying to see the kind of great expanse of the park.
And we were told that multiple times.
Yes. Just a disclaimer again for everybody. So after finishing up Rialto Beach and me having had multiple panic attacks about tide timing, our next stop of the day was the Ozette Triangle hike.
Yes. Something that we had been told to do,
yeah,
and that it was relatively flat,
mm-hmm,
that we almost cut a number of times.
Right.
Really glad we didn't do that.
Right.
Really glad.
So after starting the day at Ho Rainforest, which was about 45 minutes east of Forks, which is where we were staying, we drove about an hour from there to go to Rialto Beach, which is about 20 minutes or so west of Forks. So just to kind of give you a sense of time. The drive that we were going to take to Ozette Triangle was going to be an hour and a half. So if you're trying to repeat our day here, just kind of calculate that driving and also know that you need to have really good tide timing, which we happened to have this day.
We did. Mm-hmm. We did. Yeah. So essentially, what we had to do is drive back up to the west part of the peninsula. And instead of heading right toward Cape Flattery or Shy Beach, which was along the coast, we had to just jut down a little southwestern toward the coast. So this is the reason why Mike was a little manic about the tide and the timing.
Oh, yeah.
Because we kind of had to time everything just right in order to do Rialto Beach and Ozette Triangle on the same day.
With the driving in between.
Because otherwise we could be stuck on the beach during high tide.
No.
Which is, Mike, do you like that idea?
No.
There it is.
Mm-hmm. So after getting back into the car at Rialto Beach, we definitely took our boots off since we knew we were going to have a longer drive here so we could drive in a little bit more comfort. And today was sort of like a weird day in that we were very much so in and out of the sun the entire way away from the coast and then back to the coast. So
speak for yourself.
Yeah, well, honey, I'm always in and out of the sun.
Thank you.
We end up getting to Ozette Triangle. We pull into a large gravel parking lot, which clearly allows for overnight coastal camping, which is a thing that happens here.
The sun is a little more out at this time, and it is warmer when we pull in. We decide that, okay, so it is warmer. Let's take off a layer. We were both in tights and shorts, and we had t-shirts on. So we decided to take our tights off and just go in shorts. Glad we did this.
Yeah, we just basically stripped in the parking lot.
Yeah, there was nowhere else to change.
We disrobed in the parking lot.
No, you, as you said before in a previous episode, we slowly began to disrobe. Mike's erotic fiction podcast. But of course, we did this quickly and everything was fine.
And discreetly. Right.
There were other people in this parking lot, mm-hmm, and other cars, but there weren't a ton of people standing there. There were just like a bunch of cars. So we figured people were either out on the trail or camping.
Right.
So we put on our gear, mm-hmm, and we knew this was going to be long. This was going to be a 9-mile loop.
Right.
But you know what's nice is if it's going to be 9 miles and it's a loop, delicious.
Yeah.
Because we're going 9 miles in one direction.
Yep, exactly. As we start to kind of like make our way, we do see some people coming off the trail with big packs. So it's clear that there were people that had been hiking. They were like not through, they were through hiking. They were not just day hiking. After getting on the trail, we wind our way past the bathrooms and we pass kind of through this nice outdoor display, which had a history of the area, which we definitely were kind of dog-eared to stop at on our way back through. After we leave this display area, we hike a little bit further and we're hiking kind of along a hedge. And you had a full, exasperated, gaspy queen out in this moment.
Oh, we're calling it a queen
out.
We
are calling it a queen
out. Interesting that you call it a queen out when I do it, but you don't call it a queen out when you do it.
I'd like examples of when I've done it.
Oh, plenty of times.
I'd like
plenty
the list.
Of times. Mm-hmm. I think it's the internalized homophobia. Uh-huh.
Sure. Whatever you think.
Uh-huh.
Dorothy.
Sure, Jan.
Uh-huh. And why did you freak out?
There was a snake. There was a snake right on the path. And it just was like slither, slither, slither away.
I'm sorry. I didn't hear all that lisping that happened there. Who's internalized homophobia now? Slither, slither.
That's it.
That's it. You definitely scared the shit out of me.
I remember seeing the snake. I don't remember what I did. And I don't remember how you reacted.
I was mad.
Because I guess I just don't remember every single turn of your emotional state.
Well, I do.
Yeah, I know you do. Because you're the memory keeper's daughter.
But I was definitely mad because I'm like, damn it, use your freaking words. Because I had no idea what was going on. Because I was living my life at this moment. It definitely irked me at that moment on the trail. I definitely was pissy hiking at this moment because I was like, Jesus Christ, just use your words. It's a snake. And I think I was fumy because it was a long day of hiking. But what I was doing was...
the whole tide pool dilemma was still, I'm sure, making its way out.
You mean the tide
dilemma? Tides, yeah, the tide schedule.
I definitely was doing the, I'm mad at you, so I'm going to walk way ahead of you and not talk to you.
Oh, so that's every time we hike. Every single time we're on a trail, that
I'm
seems
just
to be the
you.
Case.
Yep.
You're just mad at me and yep. you're walking in
that's
front
it.
Of me and you
yeah.
don't want to talk to
yeah.
me.
Mm-hmm.
I get it.
Mm-hmm.
I get it.
Yeah. I'd be mad at me too.
So we cross a little stone bridge mm-hmm. and we make our way uphill toward two trail junctures, Cape Oliva and Sand Point. So the trail is in three parts, hence the triangle in its name. And each leg of the trail is about 3 miles,
mm-hmm.
almost exactly.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
And it's in three distinct parts. There's boardwalk part one, there's beach, and then boardwalk part two.
Mm-hmm.
And you can go either right here at this juncture, you can either go to the right or the left. Because
mm-hmm.
you're going to hit boardwalk either way.
It's true.
We went to the right.
Yeah, we did the hike counterclockwise or counter-triangular-wise. So as we're crossing here, there's a study of salmon that was being done within the river estuary that came off of Ozette Lake. And we, you know, make our decision to go to the right towards Cape Oliva. This immediately becomes incredibly beautiful trail. Like, can't describe the way that this trail was something out of Better Homes and Gardens, ideal garden,
yeah.
like trail design
so
issue.
The boardwalk was clearly like built years ago. And there are definitely sections that have been like updated.
Yeah.
But it's a lot of what I'm guessing is the original boardwalk.
Mm-hmm.
So you're getting a lot of like moss undergrowth through the boards.
Mm-hmm.
There's giant stones on either side covered in moss. There's also
trees, flowers,
like a
sunlight
canopy
streaming
underneath
through.
You. Colors, every shade of green you could imagine, ferns
mm-hmm.
everywhere,
mm-hmm.
every kind of fern you could think of, right, left. I mean, it's giving like the temperate rainforest of the Ho rainforest.
But more colorful.
More colorful because we're closer to the beach.
Yeah.
And therefore you've got more water nearby.
Yeah.
So like things are going to flourish differently.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, it was magnificent.
Mm-hmm.
And it was magnificent like this.
This
at
whole
every section
leg.
Of this boardwalk. Well,
just
it was
truly,
just like.
Truly beautiful.
This is the kind of thing that artisans study when they try and recreate a place like a fantasy world
yeah.
in films. And
absolutely. This would be a location scout's dream.
Yeah, yeah. Without a doubt.
Mm-hmm. When we are initially hiking, it is dirt path first. And the first boardwalk we hit is kind of more like a Trex material. And it's a very short-lived part of Boardwalk. And it's the initial leg of this part of the trail is pathway that's either gravel or dirt, boardwalk, pathway, boardwalk. So it's not like entirely boardwalk right away. We do get to sections that are like that, though. After we are hiking for a little bit, we do encounter two moms with their toddler who say happy pride to us and warn us about the dangerous toddler that they're with because he was rambunctious on the trail, probably ready to go down for a nap.
Oh, just like someone else at that exact same time mm-hmm. on that trail that day.
It's you!
So now we get into the sort of heart of the boardwalk, and there's so much boardwalk. The platforms are well manicured gardenscapes. There is some elevation gain and loss. The way they've done the platform boardwalks here is that it's sort of like a long stretch and then there might be a step down mm-hmm. and then more boardwalk and there mm-hmm. might be a step up and then there might be another step up, like, and it's long stretches of the same plane. We do come to a bridge that crosses this gorge-like area and then we do climb a bunch of stairs and we continue through this gorgeous landscape. And eventually we start to make a descent and we end up in an open field between lines of trees. And while it is sunny here, it looks like it might be cloudy on the beach because we can sort of see starting to be able to see like the edge of things.
Well, I think it was like we also were looking at the pedometer and it was very apparent that we were close to the end of this leg of the trail. Also, just the fact that we had been in canopy and in forest the entire time and all of a sudden we hit this very low section of boardwalk that almost felt marshy. It feels like the beach has to be somewhat close. I think I thought, oh, we're at beach level here. We're going to go through the next set of trees and the beach is going to be, we're at the level of the beach. Wrong. But I do remember as we break through the trees, it was windier and colder here. And not like chilly, chilly, but the wind definitely added an element that we weren't getting in the parking lot when the sun was out and it was scorching. The sun was still out, but it was hazier here. And the temperature definitely had shifted. I think we were both concerned because in taking all of our layers off because it was so warm, we neglected to each pack like an overlayer, like a jumper in our bags. And I think there was some concern there.
A jumper.
Mm-hmm.
Great. That's the first time I've ever heard you refer to it as a jumper.
Well,
there we go.
Do we have problems with this?
We don't. Okay. We don't. We're trying on new clothing today is what we're doing. Yeah.
A jumper. Sorry.
So we make it. We finally do make it to the beach.
Mm-hmm.
And we do pass a day hiker.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a bit of a switchback descent here to the beach, to actually beach level.
Yeah. But from this point, we can kind of see through. The trees are pretty thin here, and we can see down, and we're already sort of like, what is happening? Because the landscape is different than I think we expected, and very different from Rialto Beach. If you do, and Shy Shy Beach, if you do Ozette Triangle, it is not the same at all.
No.
No.
And for the record, of all of the hikes on all of the beaches here at Olympic, Ozette Triangle is the one I always recommend to mm-hmm. everybody.
Yeah. As we're heading down the switchbacks, we realize the trail is actually taking us very far to the right, the switchbacks down, which we eventually will have to go left to go down the beach to make it to the Sandpoint hike, which is our way back. Looking down on the beach here, we are very high up still, and we definitely still have more descent to do despite all of the descent we had kind of made from the boardwalk into the field and then coming down from there. The scenery here is dramatic. That's the best way to describe it.
Oh, yeah. It felt like the land of the dead.
It did. Mm-hmm. And I don't think either of us prepared for what we actually experienced when we set foot on that beach.
And with that, let's take our next break. Looking for some new art inspired by the national parks? Then be sure to check out our online store, The Gaze Shop.
This season, as we explore the landscapes of Olympic National Park, Mount Rainier National Park, Carlsbad Cavern National Park, and Guadalupe Mountains National Park, we've got some new items and designs coming your way.
Introducing our Olympic National Park and Mount Rainier National Park posters. These 12 by 18 posters make a great addition to any home or office, or a great gift for any lover of the national parks, even if that national parks lover is you.
Whether it's art for your wall or a sticker for your water bottle, you're sure to find something that sparks your love of the outdoors. Visit shop.gazeatthenationalparks.com to bring some of the national parks home with you.
All right, we're playing One Has to Stay, where we give each other three things, mm-hmm. and then you have to choose. Only one can stay. One mm-hmm. has to stay. Which one are you choosing? So why don't you get us started?
Great. This is kind of a specific one for you.
Okay,
so,
great.
So, egg salad, mm-hmm. tuna salad, mm-hmm. coleslaw, all mayo-based items.
Coleslaw can stay.
Mm, okay.
I actually enjoy your coleslaw. Mm-hmm. And I say that as somebody...
This is a trap.
as somebody who doesn't like coleslaw. But I do like your coleslaw. But
you heard it here first.
Egg salad,
everybody.
No, thank you. I don't like hard-boiled eggs. Tuna salad, no, I'm out. Okay, great. So you're...
I think it would be coleslaw for me too. By the way,
yeah,
I do like tuna salad, but yeah,
yeah.
What if it was chicken salad?
No,
What if? No. But what if chicken salad was in instead of coleslaw?
No. If what?
If chicken salad was in instead of coleslaw, if it was chicken, egg, and tuna, which one would you keep?
I would keep chicken.
Okay.
No. We cannot with the others. We cannot. Mm-hmm. Okay. For you. Mm-hmm. And this is a little more specific to you.
Okay.
As well. All right. Here we go. One, long entry lines with no guarantee. Lawn inflatables.
Mm-hmm.
And bad wedding DJs.
Oh, God.
One has to stay.
Those are like random.
They are, and they're not a part of the same category.
They
except
aren't.
For their things you loathe. You loathe all of them. Yeah. Long entry lines with no guarantee.
Ugh, stupid.
Bad wedding DJs.
I think it's inflatables.
And lawn inflatables.
I think it's inflatables.
Really?
I do. I mean, bad wedding DJs can fuck off.
Nothing will ruin Sorry. A wedding more, everybody.
Sorry.
Y'all,
and we have been
good money in a good DJ.
Bad weddings Ooh. Of friends who we love dearly, whose names we won't name.
But, no, of course not. Whose DJs were...
DJs were terrible.
Y'all, hire a DJ that can read energy. That's yeah. the point. That's yeah. the point. And guess what?
Not, women, they all
and,
can.
Women and queer people, they yeah, read energy better than straight do. Men. So that's just the deal.
Ain't that the truth?
That's just the deal.
I mean, so, wake up, America.
Wake up, America. Straight male DJs are done.
Yeah. And
that's
no.
not always true. There was a great straight guy DJ that this last wedding I went to, and he was awesome. Totally knew how to read energy in the room. So I am just awesome. Making a joke, but...
He could have been fluid, girl.
What I'm saying is, like, come on. It's about vibe. Mm-hmm. It's about party. Mm-hmm. Invest good money in a good person.
Yeah. And I ain't standing in line for something stupid. No. Without right. being guaranteed to be entered into
right.
it.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Or to enter into it.
To enter into
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
Right.
No. No, thank you. So mm-hmm. lawn inflatables, as much okay. as I hate them.
So everybody, at the end of this episode, I'll give you Mike's address. You
yeah.
can drop off a Great. Lawn inflatable for him. Mm-hmm. He wants them. He's taking donations of lawn inflatables no. in the form of lawn inflatables.
Ugh.
The closer to Peanuts characters,
oh,
the better.
Oh, God. Woof. Freaking Snoopy.
Okay. So what I do when I, because I work from home all day, and what I'll often do is research photographs of the different parks that we're about to go to, and I will put like a photo of that park as my background of my
desktop
computer. And so it like, I see it every day. It gets me excited about the next like hiking trip we're going to mm-hmm. do. And so when we got to the section of Ozette Triangle, looking out at the beach, this was the photo that I had found that I made my desktop background.
But did it look as ominous as this in your desktop background?
In my desktop background?
Probably not.
No, it was way more ominous in person.
Oh, it good was God.
It did feel like... It definitely felt like in the world of like Return to Oz.
Yeah.
Labyrinth, Dark Crystal, Never Ending Story. Mm-hmm. Like there was just like a gray haze over everything. Like it felt like we were in the middle of realms.
Well, from having traveled through what was the most manicured, beautiful boardwalk space I've ever been in my life. This was a record screech.
Oh yeah.
We got to the beach. It was low, low tide.
Yeah.
It was gray and hazy. It looked like it truly was the edge of the world. Because
it did.
You could look out at the horizon and you're like, oh, that doesn't go on forever. That just drops off out there. There's just a drop.
I was like, yeah.
The flat earthers were right. And we've come to that space.
No. No, we're not going to say that. But we'll say like, this is an image of this is what a flat earther would use as evidence, I see with quotation marks, for their claim, which is literally like, well, look, it looks flat, therefore it's anyway. No, but there's some very dramatic sea stacks here, mm-hmm. which are literally like giant large boulders, mm-hmm. like
and islands
out
in
off
the
shore. I mean it's like gorgeous rocky shoreline. The first leg of this on the boardwalk was
I was like Chiron's gonna pull up in his boat and ask us for 2 coins to take us across.
Exactly, that's what it felt like.
Yeah,
so that first leg was 3.2 miles and we did it in about an hour. Mm-hmm. And then we thought, since all the legs were basically equal, that we might get done a lot earlier, because it had suggested that it was like a 4.5 mile loop.
4.5 hour loop.
That's what I meant to say. 4.5 hour loop. But as we started walking down the beach, we were very much wrong.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because there's no, like, you're not on the path near a beach. You're just walking the beach. So you're walking sand.
And
however,
not even
we
sand
weren't
all
even
the time.
Walking sand here.
No.
Because
it's rocky. It's craggy. There's trees that you're going over and under and around. It's not really clear the best way to do things. This is kind of ultimate puzzle land. It felt like we were dropped into this space and it was like, you have this much time to escape. Otherwise, the tide will come in and suck you out to
right.
your doom.
And this was the day where we had made a choice to not wear our boots.
Mm-hmm.
We had taken
That's dumb.
Right. We took our boots off and decided that since it was going to be mostly boardwalk and sand, that we were going to wear our sneakers. And that is the regret that we both have.
Oh, yeah.
Because our ankles would have been so much better supported had we had our boots on.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's so many rocks right here along the shore, and they run all the way up to the trees.
Yeah.
So it's not like there's like a section of sand right here that we can walk across, like a clean section of sand. It's like that's all covered in like fallen trees and debris and things the tide has brought in. And then you have these rocks. And so the rocks are all over and there's thousands of them. And so like...
And they span out very far.
Right.
The tide is out.
And there's like tide pools happening in and about. So you don't want to step on those. Mm-hmm. You want to step on drier rocks. So it is like a puzzle.
Yes.
Like you like kind of... It's trail finding at its...
Hardest.
Yeah.
I think I definitely had a moment of like, oh God, like a little despair, because it did feel like it was so easy. Like I look forward to talking Karen Stone at the end of this, because the first leg is a dream and this was a nightmare.
Well,
this felt like a nightmare.
It felt like playing Mario and being like, I have to put my foot in a very specific place.
Yeah.
But I was Mario, and there were no
extra
do-overs.
No extra lives. After we kind of round a bunch of logs and fallen trees, we do end up spotting some folks who are further down the beach. And it was, at first I couldn't tell if they were walking towards us or away from us, but they ended up walking towards us. So we hike a little further down the beach and we eventually meet and we get a little more information about what we will need to look for at the opposite end of the beach. And there will be two high water mark signs. And then if we pass a very, very sandy beach at the end, we have gone too far. So we know there's going to eventually be a sandy beach, but it's going to be at the very end, which makes sense because that is called Sand Point.
That's right.
Yeah, the last leg. So
that's right.
Mm-hmm.
They also let us know that there will be a very clear sign that we will see that will tell us where to go when we need to make the turn.
Yeah.
Because we were really concerned that we were not, that we were going to miss it and walk too far down the beach.
Yeah. Again, looks like walking this is going to be easier. It's very not. The weird thing about this is because the beach is very wide, and I say beach loosely because it's like a lot of rocks and small tide pools, you can kind of, and sometimes have to, meander very far away from the shore on the rocks to navigate around detritus and things that are blocking your way. So you aren't even walking parallel to the beach all the time. Sometimes you're swinging way out to like come back in.
Yeah.
And there were a few times where it was like, this feels like we're going way too far out. And so we just had to do what we had to do, and we just had to plod along.
Right.
I do notice as we're walking after a little while, some very dark shape in the distance, like on the beach. And I thought for a second, is it perhaps a bear?
So I take out my binoculars, and lo and behold, it was a bear cub. It was the black bear cub, because they're not grizzlies and over here on the West Coast.
Well, in Olympic.
In Olympic.
Yeah.
There might be some soon in California, but not right now. So it is. It is a black bear cub, and it's a few hundred yards down the beach. And we take some photos, but it was a black bear cub. Now, I do have to quickly share this. And this I thought was wild. I had two friends who hiked this about a year later. They hiked Osette Triangle because they were headed to Olympic. They were asking me about it. And so they did Osette Triangle, and they posted a whole bunch of photos from their hike in Osette Triangle. And in the exact same spot, they saw a fully grown black bear.
Oh.
And so I was like, you know, this could just be, clearly there's a family of bears here. It could be another member of this bear family, or maybe it's this black bear all grown up.
That grew up.
I am in my own imagination.
In my heart.
It's a gorilla, but okay.
I know.
But I am taking it as like that was the same black bear and that it is the
black bear singing in the dead of night.
There you go. There you go.
That's a bird.
So we walk around the bear, make sure we give
like
it
enough space.
Like
a very wide berth.
Very wide. We were not anywhere close to it at all. Mm-mm. It does sort of run off into the woods. And we continue on the rocks. Again, like having to swing out really far.
Yeah.
And it's not easy to walk this at all.
Yeah.
So there are sometimes rocks that are like big, and there are sometimes rocks that are really small.
Yeah.
Like the size of baseballs.
Yeah.
That you still have to use as a foothold.
Yeah.
And some of them are dry. Some of them are still damp. Some of them are really wet. It spans the gamut.
I think we also were like, this activated our, when we used to rock climb a lot. This was like sort of like rock climbing, and that it was like finding, essentially.
Where do I have to step next?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I was really glad.
Like, yeah.
Bouldering activated that part of my brain, and I really liked that.
Yeah, yeah. We do end up seeing the first high water markers. So this was the first set, and this gave us a little bit of hope. But it did seem odd.
My God, I live on it.
It did seem odd considering we had passed dead low tide, but the water was still at least 100 yards out. So I was like, how much is this water rolling in? In my tide timing calculation, dead low was gone. We were trending towards high again.
Yeah.
But water was FYI, so far out.
It was so far out, true. But to your point, you know, we did just fine. Tide'll sneak up on you.
Yeah.
And sudden, like, you're like, oh, it's so far out. And then 5 minutes later, it's you're covered in water.
Yeah. Yeah. As we're continuing to walk about halfway down the beach, something that we were pointed out to look for was petroglyphs on some rocks called the Wedding Rocks. And we encounter these rock formations, these rock mounds, and we assume that they're the Wedding Rocks, but the both of us looked very, very hard. We had, I think we had our book with us that also talked about
yeah,
it.
Yeah, we tried to find
we
them.
Could not we could see not see them.
We did not know what
we
they were.
We didn't know what to look for.
No.
They were not as clear as some other petroglyphs we've
found
seen.
Found no petroglyphs.
So we just kind of continued on. But you hear, I think first, a bald eagle.
Well, I hear a bird that is... like not a bird I hear all the time.
Right.
At that point in time, I was like fairly aware of at least like the bird calls in my neighborhood.
Yeah.
Like the ones I could probably identify, I don't know, like 15, 20 different kinds of birds just from hearing them. Mm-hmm. But this was a bird call I was unfamiliar with. And so, yes, thank you, Merlin App. It did tell me that it was the bald eagle. And then lo and behold, here came a bald eagle swooping around, like looking for food for this nest it had up in this tree.
Yeah.
Because bald eagles sound like they're whining.
Yeah.
That's like a bald eagle
call.
Well,
it's like a raptor kind of call.
Yeah. It's like, it's cute.
Yeah.
It's like sweet.
Yeah.
Maybe. Yeah. Even though Hollywood likes to depict their calls as like menacing and like shrieky, but bald eagles in Hollywood are always depicted with the sound of a red-tailed hawk, which does sound super menacing and terrifying.
Mm-hmm.
But it is, that's not a bald eagle because bald eagles sound super whiny.
Mm-hmm.
So we did have a nice bald eagle
that
moment.
That was an opportunity
here
for you to say, like you, Mike.
Like you. Well, I mean, do I have to say it if you're going to speak for yourself?
Mm-hmm. We do continue on down our craggy coastline, and we do get a chance to walk on some sand here and there, and we do it whenever we're available to do so. But as we continue on, we realize that there is a very large and kind of impossible boulder to go over. So it's here, though, that we also see another high water marker. So we're like, okay, great. We've seen the second high water marker. We're going to, the next thing we're going to see is our turnoff, because that's what the people told us that we had seen. It just felt weird that this was here. There's also a rope that seems to go over this, like, which was, seemed like it would take you up on the boulder, and we couldn't kind of figure out why that was the case at that moment in time. So what we end up having to do is we try to troubleshoot this the best we could, but we realize, no, we just have to walk around this. And this is a very, it's like, it's kind of like a point here that goes pretty far out, and we have to swing way out on the rocks to go around this, to go and meander around it. It felt, for me, this is where I felt the most nervous, because we were very far away from the actual shoreline and it just didn't feel good. Again, the sky is incredibly overcast and menacing looking already. We're feeling like we're in the land of the dead. I'm panicking about the tide. I was not having the time of my life in this stretch of the hike. And in hindsight, I wish that I had just like taken a gummy and just chilled out, because that would have helped me.
We were like not like next door hiking with each other on this hike most of the time on this section. We were pretty far away and separated because navigating rocks, just that's sort of how it ended up. But I remember in the moments when we would come together, like that's what we were discussing. We were like, this is hard.
Yeah.
This is really hard. And like, I can't believe we wore our sneakers for this.
So dumb.
I'm not blaming us. I'm just saying, like,
I think we were led to believe that sneakers were okay to lead walk on this hike.
I think we might have been led to believe that.
Advice that we were given that I wish that we had not taken.
Yeah. So one of the cool things about this hike and all of the shoreline of Olympic National Park is that if you're a fan of driftwood, which I am, Mike is, it's everywhere. And it's like real delicious, beautiful driftwood. And so they have some there were some driftwood shelters made like along the beach.
That that was very cool.
Like people
we could walk up to and around.
Yeah, yeah, and like, you know, people stay in them and
or like camp behind them,
you know, that kind of thing. So we do see some other hikers who I think they were leaving after an overnight or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Or they were heading out for an overnight. It was one of those.
They were, because we had seen one of them before we started hiking, like early on, kind of back at the parking lot. So they had gone the other way. They had gone down Sand
Beach.
That's
right. And so they were about to camp. We told them about the bald eagle.
Yes.
And it was great.
And at this point, the beach starts to become a little easier to navigate. And we continue to see more shelters on the beach. And we sort of, at this point, can see where we think we need to go. We see the other high water mark sign that was mentioned in the distance.
We also have another bald eagle sighting. Then it's like swooping around. It's like following us. There's some crows who are trying to attack it. That's a very common thing that crows will do, because an eagle is a bird of prey. It will eat crows and it will, and crows will try and get rid of it.
Yeah.
You know, so that's always fun to watch. So we continue to walk down the beach. It continues to get more and more easily
treadable.
More and more, easily treadable, because it becomes sandier.
Finally.
Finally.
Yeah.
And we make our way up to what we think is a sign, but it's actually just a tent.
Yeah.
And then we were like, okay, our fears are starting to happen.
Yeah.
Have we gone too far?
Right.
And did we miss the sign?
And with that, let's take our next break.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the stage
Roberta Prey.
Roberta Prey. Now, see, what I want to do is add a comma after Roberta. So it's like a command. Roberta Prey. And if you sort of interpret that as like a last name, first name, her name, it could be Prey, Roberta. Prey.
Pray tell, Roberta.
Pray, Roberta. Roberta Prey. Mm-hmm. Inspired by the eagle we saw in this. Roberta Prey. Who is Roberta Prey?
I feel like she's one of the unnamed nuns in Whoopi Goldberg's Sister Act.
Oh, so she's like the nun that got no screen time.
She is.
Okay, so who
she
is
was
she?
The
what
nun
is
that
her
was
character?
Supposed to be in the choir, but she had pneumonia, so she was bedridden for the
at
entire
the time
that Sister Mary Frances
See,
was there.
That's my thing, is I think probably Roberta Prey, it would have been her story, but because pneumonia, she had to sit it out. And then the whole, like, you know, Sister Mary Clarence story became the thing. So Roberta Prey is sort of like what would have happened if the pneumonia.
It's the sliding doors.
It's the sliding doors of it all.
Of the Sister Act universe.
So maybe in Roberta Prey's story, Sister Mary Clarence is like this vicious villain who's like taking over the convent. And it's like, all of you will sing in my choir or you will sing for Satan. Something like that.
It could be that maybe she's just, you know, she actually falls in with the mob boss and and he's trying to take over the church because he wants the real estate. And so she's sort of like the, I love this dark fantasy Sister Act.
So is she an accomplice with them?
Yes.
Oh,
yeah.
God.
Yeah.
So it's an anti-hero story? Oh, my gosh. Roberta Prey. Sister Roberta Prey. Yeah. Wow.
And so I think
she needs to have like one bird in a cage. Like, and it's a bird that doesn't belong in a cage. I mean, I don't believe any birds belong in cages, but like something like a hawk or a falcon or an eagle, some kind of actual bird of prey, like in a cage. And then
but do you feel
at
like
some
that
point
bird
in the story,
could be, I feel like that bird should be puppetry. I feel like she should operate that bird.
Okay, this is now a hat, wearing a fascinator. Like, is she like deluded into thinking that this is a real bird, but it's
no,
actually
it's
a
part of her act.
Oh, no, I want it to be a real bird.
Okay,
and I want the bird to actually like escape. Like the bird escaping the cage is very obviously symbolic of something, and it is symbolic of something in her story. I think it's a film. We're talking about a film,
okay.
A drag character. Or a character played in drag. And yeah, and then there's this bird. Maybe the bird, like, maybe it's a raven, and the raven, like, tells all of her secrets because a raven is a mimic. There it is. A raven's a bird of prey. So there we go.
Look at all the, look at the story we wove.
Oh, my, no, I love it. I'm here for it. So, Thaddeus and gentlemen, please welcome to the stage.
Roberta Pry.
Okay, so we're standing on the beach. We're waiting in the dark. We thought that you'd be here by now. If I didn't go there, you would have accused me of,
slipping.
So, we saw the thing that we thought was the 10, and we were like, come on. Oh my God, did we miss it? And then we see the sign, which the sign is not close. It's still a ways away. But we were like, thank God it's a sign.
And so as we trudge down the beach, which is sandy at this point and easier, we eventually have to meander over all of these giant driftwood logs that are here that have been washed up against the like tree line, essentially. And the relief in this moment is incredible. It felt so good to be like, good God, this was an incredible hike, but Jesus, it was tough. And damn, the tides definitely freaked me out here.
That
like got under my skin a little too much.
And then we still have 3 miles. We got to walk.
We did. And we were mad.
We were done.
We were mad. But keep in mind also, this was our third hike this day.
It was. I mean, the first two were shorties.
Right.
And this was 9 miles.
But still, we did, I think, like a 14-mile day, all said and done.
And would I do this hike again in a second? 100%.
Absolutely. Oh, yeah,
without a doubt.
Now knowing it, too.
One of my favorites forever.
Yeah, now knowing it more.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my God. This one takes the cake many ways. Mm-hmm. We'll talk about that later.
Yeah.
But so, yeah, we still have to do the hike back.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I get why people camp out there.
Yeah.
Because it's a literal hike to get out there.
Yeah.
Though, of course, we like walking long distances. Yep. So we're like, 9 miles, great, we'll do it. Like, some people are like, 4 to get out there is like all I want to do. And then I want to stay put.
Yep.
And we are both people, and this is why I think we work well as like, you know, hiking buddies together, is because we're both people who like to keep ourselves in motion.
Yeah.
And so like, we're like, no, let's keep walking.
Yeah, yeah,
you know, there's more to see. There's more to, you know, put myself around.
Yeah, yeah.
So at this point, it was pretty chilly. We didn't have any of our warm layers with us.
No.
And we just had to deal with it, which is fine. But yeah, we finally make it up to the spot where we turn.
So once we get here, we are essentially on dirt path for a little while. And through, like, kind of meandering through some shrubs and some bushes, there's way less incline here than there was that we came down on the other side. So there's less of an elevation gain here as we're heading up. And we are only 3 miles to the finish. We eventually make our way onto the boardwalk here. There's less incline here than the other side. It's only 3 miles to the finish point. We backtrack through beautiful boardwalk over much older planks than Cape Oliva. It's just as lush and beautiful here, but in its own way, it's also very different from the other side that we came down. It's more green here, kind of more damp. It felt like this felt more temperate rainforest, where the other side almost felt kind of like Hawaiian. I don't know. It was very just like pretty and
it
floral.
It did. It was very Hawaiian in that way. Almost tropical, if you will.
That's what I'll go with.
Yeah. What we would never recommend here is to take the same boardwalk back.
No,
do the trek to the other side so you can see both sides of this boardwalk. We did this entire hike back on this section of boardwalk without seeing anyone.
No.
Not a single person.
Yeah, I mean, this was a very quiet hike in general for us. We did see people on the beach, thankfully. That made me feel good. And we saw some people on the initial boardwalk, but...
Right.
We also are hiking quickly.
Yeah.
So fast here. We're like, we're ready to be done. We have to dodge some holes in the boardwalk here because the boardwalk is older, but it's definitely rougher and obviously in need of some repair.
And there's like a tree that we have to bend around. And, you know, there are different moments of like, it just felt a little rougher.
Yeah.
So like this section is a little rougher. So there's no right or wrong way to do Ozette Triangle as far as like...
No.
I mean, I would think we might, on the next time we do it...
Go backwards?
Do the opposite direction, yeah, just to see.
Yeah, yeah.
Because we've done it in counterclockwise, but maybe it would be fun to see what it's like to do that section
mm-hmm,
first.
Mm-hmm.
So we make our way back to the trailhead. We did do it in record time.
Definitely faster than the other two legs of the trek.
Right.
Yeah.
And in total, how long did it take us? I think it took us a total of three...
We were close to 4 hours.
3.5 to 4. Yeah. So we were under the 4.5 mark.
Yeah.
But it was almost 4.5.
Yeah.
Obviously, walking back to the parking lot, we were very cautious in the spot where we saw snakes before. Mm-hmm. We do take some time with the interpretive signage here. And then we get back to the car and we just shed everything.
I think you meant to say that we slowly disrobed.
We slowly disrobed.
And from here, we make our hour and a half drive back to Forks by way of the grocery store in
That's
town.
That's right, where we get a lot of snacks.
Yep, we just snacked up.
And then we went back to the Airbnb and watched...
Twilight 2.
Twilight Part 2,
New
which
Moon.
Is called... Is it?
Yeah.
Eclipses 3.
Yeah.
And
I
then
think it's Breaking Dawn.
Breaking
New
Dawn
Moon.
Is 4.
No.
The first one is Twilight.
Oh, yeah.
Then New Moon, then Eclipse, then Breaking Dawn.
Okay.
I think. The
come,
Twilighters
come for us
for
in
me.
The comments.
All right, let's put Ozette Triangle on the Karen Stone scale. This is a toughie because you'd think because it's flat, I think I'm ready to give it. 6.
Oh, I was going to say 7.
Okay, great.
Yeah.
Well, I'm saying 6 because those rocks are not easy to do. And there are definitely sections of that boardwalk that are not like smooth sailing.
No. No, I think the 7 comes from that last section. Absolutely. Absolutely. I'm sorry. And by last section, I mean the middle section. The 7 comes for me from the middle section. The beach was incredibly tough. It's one of the tougher hikes that we've done, even though it was flat. It was deceptive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wear the boots.
Wear the boots. Yeah.
With like the high ankle boots.
Yeah.
Because I would definitely do that again. All that said, arguably one of my favorite hikes I think we've ever done.
Yeah.
It's so specific, unique, and delicious and wonderful. And it's like unlike anything I've ever seen. I mean, it's rare that you get to see like those kinds of birds of prey and black bears and like edge of the world, you know, like outcroppings of rock piles and sea stacks and various kinds of rainforests all in one hike.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I mean, arguably one of my like top 5.
Yeah.
I think it's in my top
it's
5.
It's up there.
It's
also that
hike.
Like it's that realm changiness that we got.
It's so good.
It's just
it's
like
so good.
South Rim, it's like sliding
highly
sands,
recommend.
Cuz you're just in different worlds the entire time.
Don't miss it, everybody.
Yeah.
And now let's end this episode, like we end all of our full-length episodes, with some Jeopardy-style trivia. All right, Mike, why don't you get us started today?
Okay, well, my Jeopardy is called Ozette Love Triangle.
Oh, so who's Ozette in love with today?
Well, this is about people that are in love triangles in fiction.
Oh, I see.
And the fact that you sang some Avril Lavigne earlier in the episode is great because I'm giving all of the clues in an altered version of Skater Boy.
I'm so ready for this.
So you're going to need to name the love triangle. If you can't name the characters, if you can name the film they're in, but I'll give you bonus points.
Are they
if,
from a film? All
film,
of them?
Film, movie, book.
Book.
Television.
Film or movie is the same.
Yeah, okay. Media. Any form of media.
Media. Okay. Great.
All right.
Okay. So for comic one, book.
Sure.
Podcast.
Yeah. Podcast.
Okay. Great.
You, me, and these microphones. All right. For 100. She was a girl. He was a wolf. Could I make it any more obvious? Then came a vamp. He's here to stay. What more can I say? He was a shiny boy, could run off his hiney boy, living in the PNW. Wanted to be her dude. Wolfman could be real rude, but in the end they got along.
Your parody lyric writing is untouched. What is Twilight?
That's
and
right.
It's Bella and Jacob and Edward.
That's correct. Wonderful. Get ready for four more.
I'm so ready.
For 200. She was a girl. He was a friend. Could I make it any more obvious? A baker of bread stepped in their way. What more can I say? He was the kinder boy. You need a reminder, boy, in the games with her. Trauma bond, fake romance turned into quite a dance. Murdering kids was not for her.
What is the Hunger Games?
That's correct.
Who is Katniss and PETA?
Yep.
And Liam Hemsworth.
Gale is Gale. His name. Yep.
Gale.
Good job.
Great.
Uh-huh.
I'm proud of myself for that one. Okay. Because these clues are good.
Okay. For 300. She was a girl. He was a spy. Could I make it any more obvious? But still the prez is her real bae. What more can I say? He was the syrup boy Vermont.
Do it again. Do it again. You've got to do it. You got it. Do it.
She was a girl. He was a spy. Could I make it any more obvious? But still the prez is her real bae. What more can I say? He was the syrup boy. Vermont down in spirit boy would do anything for her. She was a fixer gal. Handle it for her pals. Someone paint a pic of her.
I cannot believe you included this here, and I've never been prouder. I have never been prouder, because what a scandal. And we're talking about Olivia and Fitz and Jake.
That's
Ballard.
Right.
Oh my God, somebody paint a pic of her. Wow.
This was great. I loved every minute of this.
This is brilliant. I can't believe, okay, for the record, like, you got home, like, I don't know, 20 minutes before I showed up,
yep.
And you wrote all of this in, like, right on the couch.
Uh-huh.
Oh, my God. Brilliant. Okay, let's
all
keep
right.
going.
For 400.
I don't even think I could name 5 love triangles, like, if you asked me to right now.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my gosh. Okay.
She was a girl. He was her friend. Could I make it any more obvious? Then came this way, his wedding day. What more can I say? She was a saboteur. Wanted him all for her. Chicago was not her scene. America's sweetheart girl. Twisting things in a whirl. Who could know she was so mean?
You know what? I'm better with food. Let's say that Michael wants dessert, and the chef comes out and offers creme brulee. And then Michael decides, you know what? I don't want creme brulee. I want Jell-O. That's what I want. I want Jell-O. I can be Jell-O. No, you can. You're never going to be Jell-O. Creme brulee can never be Jell-O. What is my best friend's wedding?
Mm-hmm.
And we're talking... Dermot Mulroney, Julia Roberts, and Cameron Diaz. And their names are Michael, Jules, and Kimmy.
That's right. Look
oh,
at
my
you.
God. I can't believe. Well, these are good clues. That's why I'm getting all of them.
Great. And the last one. She was a girl. He was real hot. Could I make it any more obvious? Then came a gal, a villain in ways. What more can I say? She was a flying girl, go higher than Miles girl, morally sound and whip smart. Painted on as real mean, even though she was green, she had such a big heart.
Wow. Yeah. Well, I love we've taken it all the way back around to this conversation from the very
One
beginning.
Short day.
Uh-huh. Because this is what is wicked, and we're talking Elphaba, Glinda, and Fiero.
Yep.
That's right. That's right, which could be an argument for who gets the gay bestie in this version in the film, because it's Jonathan Bailey and his beautiful self, who, like, I love that he's playing Fiero just as like an like a pansexual king. I love it, girl. I just want you to know that in my pocket here, I've got three gold stars.
Great.
And I've engraved your name on all three of them, and I'm putting them in your lapel.
Thank you.
Because that could be the best Jeopardy you've ever written.
I think it might be.
So I'm giving you all of your flowers for that.
Thank you.
And I can't believe I now have to do a category of Jeopardy after you that pales in comparison. But I hope you know what? It won't compare. It's never going to compare because creme brulee can never
ain't ever going to be jello.
So you got the creme brulee, everybody. I'm giving you the jello. All right. Are we ready?
We're ready.
For 100. This is called Types of Triangles, but the other way around.
Okay.
So you're naming types of triangles. However, I'm describing them not in the way I am trying to get you there based, like, I'm going a totally different road to get you to guess the name of the triangle.
Okay.
So for 100, this is something you and I argue about constantly, proudly and broadly proclaiming to be this, but it fills you with power of a thousand suns in the moments when you know that you are this.
What is the right triangle?
Correct. Or what is right? Correct. So, like, a right triangle. Okay. For two. am I wrong? No. For 200.
No, I'm right.
This is how you might describe a bunny or a puppy or a baby or a crush if you hesitated just a little before you said it.
What is it, cute?
That's right. For 300. This is what you might be if you were strangely rude or sideways about something in a totally unjustified way.
What is the skew?
No.
Rude or sideways?
Mm-hmm.
What is obtuse?
Correct. For 400. This sounds what you...
No.
This sounds like what you'd have if the filtering teeth from inside of this one specific whale gave you itchy mites that burrowed into your skin. So it's these two things combined.
I'm trying to think of other triangles too. The only other one I know is isosceles or equilateral.
It's neither one of those.
Yeah.
Can you so try and get it, yeah, this way. Okay. What the filtering teeth from inside of this one specific whale or inside of a whale, what do you call those teeth?
What are they called? Oh, my God, I don't know.
Okay, great. I'll give you the first word. I'll give you another clue to get there, which is this is what you call an area of land surrounding water, particularly in San Francisco.
What is an isthmus? What is a peninsula?
No.
Area of land surrounding water.
Mm-hmm. The San Francisco this.
Bay?
Right.
Okay.
That's the first part of that word.
Okay.
Of the filtering teeth word. Second part of the word is what you might have if you have a loan on a car. You might be the
Bailey's? Bailey's?
The this holder.
Bay-loan?
No.
Baleen.
There we go. Baleen.
Okay.
So that's one word. And then what's the other one? Itchy mites burrowed into your skin. What is that?
Scabies.
Yeah. So combine those and what do you get? You could get...
Baleen scabies.
Start with the scabies.
Scalene.
There we go. Thank you. Scalene. Baleen scabies. I thought you were going to say babies, which also works. Okay, great. And finally, for 500, this is what you get when you mix the artificial sweetener in the blue packet with the medication that they sometimes prescribe to young people to treat ADHD.
What is equilateral?
That's right. There you go. No, you got to get to the cackle. No, the cackle. There it is.
Thank you.
Looking for more episodes like the one you just heard? Then be sure to check out our episode finder for episodes by park, state, hiking difficulty, and terrain, as well as all of our Trail Mix episodes in one helpful place. Click the link in the show notes of this episode, our Instagram bio, or visit our website to make your listening experience even easier.
This has been Gaze at the National Parks, the podcast, and we're here to remind you to hike early and hike often, and that adventure is always out there.
Gaze at the National Parks was created, produced, edited, and hosted by us,
Dustin Dallard
and Michael Ryan.
To see images from this episode, follow our Instagram at Gaze at the National Parks. To contact us, email us at gazeatthenationalparks@gmail.com. And to find out more about the parks visited on this show, visit our website, gazeatthenationalparks.com. That's Gaze, G-A-Z-E.
All original artwork featured on Instagram and on our website is by me, Michael Ryan.
All original music was written and performed by Dave Seaman and Mariella Klinger, with Sean Sklios on guitar. Our music producer is Skylar Fortgang.
We would also like to acknowledge that while recording this episode, that we were on the traditional and stolen lands of the Lenape people, also known as New Jersey.